Welcome back, followers. In this episode, Dana and I talk about friendships and relationships and what we find help us find good friends and keep good friendships and relationships. We talk about boundaries and this concept that I had no idea about until probably a few years ago called holding space. In this episode, we also reference some of our guests, mainly Kristen Santa Maria and Katie Wilcox. Both of those are full episodes, and we kind of touch on little pieces of those interviews. But if you're really looking to deep dive into those conversations, which are absolutely phenomenal, I loved my time interviewing Kristen and Katie. They're both super amazing people. Check those out. They're in the archive, and we hope you enjoy.
Hey, Kristen.
What's up, Dana?
So we're still in quarantine. And
Yes, we are. Day 4,762.
Yeah. Wow, I can't believe you kept count.
I know. There's tally marks on my wall.
Is that how you help teach your kids how to count and stuff?
Oh, absolutely. We're learning all kinds of Roman numerals.
This is the day of quarantine that we're on. Can you count?
I'll be back at lunchtime.
Yeah, exactly. I think we were talking about this last week. We talked about scheduling a little recording so we could talk about friendship. And I thought that it was like such a meaningful thing to talk about, meaningful relationships and how do you find meaningful relationships? What does that even mean? And I felt like you and I are pretty good friends. We're pretty good people.
I think so.
Yeah. Like I consider pretty decent. I consider you somebody that is definitely a really good friend. I mean, we were just talking now before we started recording. We were talking about something that's private between you and I. And we were like, you know what? You're just my person that I know I can kind of vent to. I know that I can say this to you and it will stay with you. And we have this trust in one another. And I don't think that that just comes. I think it's something that we foster and we develop. And so I just thought it would be good to do an episode on meaningful relationships. And I think that you and I do have some experience in both from getting burned, like being in relationships that were not good and having friends that we thought would be friends forever that are no longer, and the friends that we've had in our lives for a long time, or like you and I have only been friends for what, a year and a half or a year pretty solidly, and we're the best of friends, you know? So
no one else I could get through quarantine with but you.
Yeah. I know. That's another thing. Like it's kind of nice. Like a lot of our phone calls do have to do with this podcast and planning and all of that. But it's nice to like get on the phone and just talk.
Yeah.
Like when else do you really do that? You know, I don't. I never do that.
The worst.
And that's like this, I think that's a benefit of this quarantine that like I'm talking to my friends more. I mean, obviously you and I outside of this see each other several times often. A week. Yeah, very frequently, just because of seeing each other at the yoga shop and stuff. But so I thought one thing that is important to talk about with finding meaningful relationships, find when you meet somebody new, friendships, relationships, all of that is boundaries.
Ooh, boundaries, the new B word.
It's a big B word.
That is a big B word. That's it. Don't soundbite that one. People will not think that we're talking about something appropriate.
No, the big B word is boundaries.
Boundaries. Yeah. Boom. There it is. That's an interesting word. And it's, to me, when I first heard the word boundaries, it made me think of like almost, I don't know why, like prison sort of, or like steel and cold and hard and harsh. When I think of boundaries, that's what I think of.
Interesting.
And I guess what boundaries really are a little bit of a shield. They're a way to protect your energy. They're a way to protect your heart, your feelings, your inner guidance, honestly. Like, there is this voice in our heads sometimes that's like, oh, I really don't feel like going to this party. I really don't feel like going to this baby shower. I really like, actually, as I was just saying that, something in me just like really clicked, like going to a baby shower. There was a time like in my life where I had lost a child, and I was just like right after like invited to a baby shower, and it was very hard to show up and be happy and be excited. And like, that was a younger version of myself. But now I could look back and go, like, what's better, to send a card and stay home and just be with myself and like let their happy day be their happy day, or go and like feel off and, you know, probably a little bit jealous, probably sad, probably like all these things, and bringing that energy into a place that's supposed to be happy. Like, of course, the first option sounds a lot better. Like, send the card, like set your boundary of, you know, protecting your own emotions and something that is difficult. Like, I think sometimes we try to be strong and we try to just forge ahead and push through these barriers or these feelings that we don't need to. We can honor them. We can just be like, this is who I am. This is what I'm going through. I don't have to tell anybody, but I can say no or do something different.
Right. And I think that you are actually somebody that you're super good at setting boundaries. Like, I've learned a lot from you because you really lead by example with that. And it's actually funny that you say that your first thought was like cages and shielding and protecting. And I think that that's the truth, that you do set boundaries to protect yourself and protect your own spirit and stuff. But I think that boundaries are actually freeing. When I think of boundaries, I think of freedom. And freedom to be myself and freedom to say what I want and mean it. And so like I think of when you were speaking, I was thinking of like, you know, after yoga classes being like, hey, do you want to go get sushi? And you're like, oh, you know, I would love to, but I gotta go be with my family. I haven't seen them. You know, and you set that boundary of like, it's not that I don't want to get sushi with you. It's that I really want to be with my family right now. And somebody that wasn't good at setting boundaries would just go, yeah, sure, I'll go get sushi. And then like your kids are like, where are you, mom? You said you were going to be home for dinner. And your husband is like, where are you, Kristen? You said you were going to be home for dinner. You know, so like it kind of has a ripple effect of negatively affecting the other people and the other aspects of your life. And I've thought about it like, it's something that I've learned from friends like you and from friends that once I do set boundaries, it kind of goes awry. And I think it's all about meeting people that honor your boundaries and respect the fact that you set boundaries. Like, to me, the fact that I know, Kristen, that when we go out to get sushi, maybe I just need sushi right now. I don't know. When you
that's
and I,
that's my bucket list. I need to get some sushi soon.
Oh my God. Where's the sushi? When you and I go out and we get sushi, that you are doing it because you want to be with me. And that's what you want to be doing. When you and I go get coffee, that's what you want to be doing. So for me, it's formed a more meaningful relationship with you because I know that you will tell me if you don't want to do something. And when you do want to do something, it's that much more sincere. And even like, there's been times where I used to work the desk at the yoga shop before I started teaching there. And it was before a class and I had a bunch of work to do, like personal work to do. Like I had a list of like checking my finances and like doing all this stuff. And I kind of like set these deadlines for myself that I wanted to get done. And I was kind of on a good track and going to like, I was at the studio and taking that yoga class was going to set me back timing wise with like the to-do list I wanted to get done. And I was kind of like, it was just you and I, it was before class, and I was like, oh, I'm like I'm so stressed right now. I have all this stuff I want to get done. And like, I feel bad because I want to go in there and support the teacher. But like, I was like stressing and venting to you. And you were like, Dana, if you're going to go into the room and bring in like stressful, not good energy, it's not good for you. And it's not good for the other people in the room, you know? So if you need to take care of yourself in another way that's not yoga, do that. And like, I think that's really powerful.
It's definitely something that's easy to say and harder to practice. But as you were speaking, like, I feel like I can relate so much to what you were feeling and going through in that moment. And it's taken other people to say that to me. Like, it's almost like a pay it forward thing, really. And what I've found, like, when I was out of college, before I had kids, I was a yes woman. And it was like, yes, I will teach. Yes, I will coach. Yes, I will do that after school activity. Yes, I want to take yoga. Yes, I want to go. Oh, yeah, I'll sign up for a half marathon. Yes, I want to go to this party. And everything was a yes. And what I was finding was that because I was filling my bucket with like so many things, just like, oh, yeah, yeah, like that sounds good. Just keep throwing it in there. I would feel like the bucket would get so full and like the water would just start spilling out, and I would be in, let's just say, a yoga class trying to relax, and I couldn't relax. I couldn't turn anything off because I was just like, all right, what's the next thing? Oh, I'm going to forget this or like whatever. So I was really like the things that I had added to the bucket that I valued were becoming devalued, and they weren't precious because I was never present. So the boundaries just really helped bring me present. Just like I knew that day when you were about to go in that yoga class, like you can go sit there and you're going to be suffering for an hour just wanting to get out of that room because all you want to do is say no. And for whatever reason, you feel like you're being a bad person by saying no. And that's all, like learning to build boundaries is learning to say no to things that aren't exciting or feel right. And yes, to the things that do. And sometimes that's taking a nap in the middle of the day or reading a book instead of checking your email.
Right.
You know?
Right. And I think when I was going through like a friend breakup, right, I had a friend and we had this really bad falling out and it was pretty nasty. And like it was birthed because I was setting boundaries that I felt were really important, and I needed to set them not only for my own sanity, but for my safety. And my friend just lost her mind on me and told me that I was attacking her and that I was but not a good friend. And it's a whole long story that would take a whole episode to explain, but I remember listening to a podcast. It was, to give full credit, it was Off the Vines with Caitlin Bristow, that podcast. She had a therapist on. And I think I might have brought this up with when we did Kristen Santa Maria's episode. But this therapist said, it's a quote from one of her books. Her name is Vienna Farren. And the quote is that stuck with me when I was in the thick of this with my friend. Like this really bad falling out. The quote was, "The only people that got upset when you set boundaries are those who benefited from you not having any."
Oh, yeah.
And that
was
like, it like took the wind out of me. Like it was like cold water, like getting woken up with cold water. Like, oh my gosh, that's it. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's why we're having this falling out right now. Because, and you could argue, you know, people on her side of the aisle, right, could argue like, oh, Dana was being too intense and Dana was being too crazy with her boundary, whatever it is. You know, there's obviously two sides to every story and maybe they thought one thing about my actions, but I felt in my soul that I was making the right decision for myself and that's really all that matters. And by me putting up those boundaries, the friendship had a huge falling out. And I kind of realized that, like, that was probably one of the most important falling outs of my life. The most important in that quote, I will never ever forget that quote because it was such an awakening to hear that. And I remember on the podcast, Caitlin said, "Can you say that again? You need to say that again." So she said the quote two times because that it is like, it's just such the truth, right? So like, I think my advice to people when they're figuring out, when they're navigating friendships, when they're navigating relationships, intimate relationships, whatever it is, if you notice an alarm going off when you try to set a boundary, a realistic boundary, I'm not talking like your boundary is don't talk to me after 7 p.m. Like something that if you're in a dating relationship or something, like if it's a realistic boundary and it's a boundary that's going to strengthen your relationship with yourself and therefore your relationship with them, if it's a beneficial boundary and they do not honor it and they do not respect it and they poo-poo it, like that's big. You just said poo-poo. Yeah, I did.
No, you're right though.
That's like blazing red flags. Like to me, that's, I won't. I just simply will not accept somebody into my life in a close relationship that doesn't honor my boundaries.
So the quote that you were saying is that the person benefited from you not having the boundaries, but I would also think that that person has a hard time setting their own boundaries too, because it's startling to somebody who isn't. I remember being someone on the receiving end of someone setting their boundaries, and I was like, something about them would just annoy me, and I'm like, ugh.
Yes.
And the things that annoy us about other people generally are the work that we have to do ourselves.
It's a mirror. Right?
It really is.
That's a really good point.
It's very interesting, but like that's our work too.
That's a really, really good point.
And it's never done. Like, right? Our work is never ending. So, okay, yeah, I might be good at setting boundaries now or better at setting boundaries, but okay, now there's more things that I'm working at or towards too. Like there's always a growing, and it's having a friend like you or others, and I hope everybody has a Dana in their life,
or a Kristen,
or thank you, or a Ryan. Like my husband's a great sounding board, just someone that's there to hold space for you, which is another term I think we should talk about because I didn't understand it. It's weird when you don't come from a place that holding space is a thing. Do you want to talk a little bit about what holding space is, or do we want to finish up some boundary talk before?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that boundaries to me personally, a huge lesson that I've learned in my life is that boundaries. It's almost like it's it. Like that's it right there. Like if you can meet people, whether it's intimate relationships or friendships, or even at work, your coworkers, your bosses, if you can meet people that are good, you surround yourself with people that are good at setting boundaries and people that honor your boundaries. I think.
So what does it look like that someone is good at setting boundaries? Like, how do you find them?
Well, I think it's a good point that you made that it is shocking for people that it's shocking for people that have difficulty setting boundaries, that when you do try to set boundaries, they go, oh yeah, like they kind of whine about it and throw a fit. And so I think when, you know, take a look at yourself. So if you're trying to kind of navigate this and figure this whole boundary talk out, take a look at yourself. What is valuable to you? What matters to you that you feel? What measures can you take in your life that will either elevate who you are or bring you down? So when you're making decisions about like going to a baby shower, you're making decisions about picking up the phone. You're making decisions about, scheduling.
Taking a job.
Yeah, taking a job. Getting sushi, whatever it is. Like, think, is this going to elevate who I am and make me better, or make my moment better, make my evening better, whatever? Or is it going to take away from something that I am working on for myself? So, for example, if you have a nightly routine, you're really working, you're working on, like for me, it's reading every night, right? So that's been really important to me lately with this quarantine. So reading every night is important. So a boundary I might set is, say I'm, if we weren't in quarantine, a friend invites me over. It's Tuesday night. It's usually a night that I would be at home reading. A friend invites me over and they want to have a bonfire and have a few drinks. Okay, like, could be cool to go see my friend, and maybe I do go see my friend, but if I have those few drinks, then I'm not going to get my reading done, probably, because I'm going to be buzzed, you know, and I'm not going to want to read. I'm just going to want to go to bed. So you're setting a boundary of, okay, I'm not going to drink because it's more important to me that I stay with my routine, something that makes me feel really good, like reading mm-hmm. before bed. That's a boundary right there. Or you say, it's Tuesday night and I just want to stay in. It would benefit me more to stay in than it would be to leave my house and stay up later than I probably would want to stay up. And, you know, so let's rain check for Friday night when that's the night that I don't read before bed or something, you know, like.
Yes, so exactly.
I think
it's funny too what you said in there is like, what I can pull out of there is like that snowball effect. If you go to your friend's house, you're likely to drink and you're likely to not read. And then the next day, you're probably going to wake up and you're going to feel bad about not reading. Mm-hmm. So you might like whatever, you know, like eat ice cream for breakfast or something that you wouldn't normally do because right. you're like, well, I failed at this thing.
Yeah.
But when you take that moment and go, I honestly don't even want to leave my house. Like, I love my friend, but I feel so comfy right now. I don't want to throw out, like, I don't want to go in the car. And you just say no, and they're like, all right, the friend probably doesn't care that much. I mean, if they understand boundaries.
And that's the thing, is if the friend goes, oh, come on, you're always so lame. Like, why would, okay, well, like, take note of that. That might be a yellow, mm-hmm. maybe not a red flag, but it's a yellow flag. You know, like, mm-hmm. maybe that's mm-hmm. not, so I've noticed that in my own life. People that kind of have that reaction, I'm like, all right, it's not that you're not going to be my friend. Like, you know, you don't want to be like isolating yourself from people, but maybe this is not my best friend. This is not somebody that's going to become my best friend. They're not going to know mm-hmm. everything about me, you know? Or if it's somebody like, I think Kristen, you and I are like really good at being like, yeah, I just don't, I'm not feeling it tonight. And I know that you still love me and you know that I still love you. And it's not about you. It's about them. They just don't want to go out. They just don't want to do that thing, whatever it is. So it's respect.
Quarantine life is hard. You just like it's because it. Seriously though, like there is that snowball thing where we're like, I'm technically not working right now. You know, like I don't have to leave my house to go and be on a schedule really. So it feels like anything that I do have to do that's scheduled feels like it's so big right yeah. now, right? Like,
I agree.
Is that happening to you? Like,
yes,
I don't know if
yes.
anyone is listening in that. Like, it feels like everything that you have, like, I have to put on pants.
It's laboring. I yeah. I had to do my makeup this morning and I was like, oh.
I mean, there's moments where it does feel really good to do it and you're yeah, like, yeah. Oh, I am still human. You know, I know how to function, but like, this is a total sidebar and we can cut this out in editing, but like, I remember not driving for like 3 weeks probably because I was a little fearful and nervous, but I went out and got in my car and I'm like, I don't think I know how to do this anymore. I think I lost a skill to drive and I felt like I was like 15 again with my learner's permit.
Yeah.
Like, they're letting
me. Oh my God. I felt the same. Yes. I felt the same way after I hadn't driven for like 2 weeks and I got in my car. I was like, I feel like I'm driving for the first time in so long. Like, oh my gosh.
It's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
Anyways, I digress.
What was the thing that you were saying before I went back on a boundaries tangent? You were asked, oh, holding space.
Yeah, that's another buzzword.
That at is.
Least I feel that's buzzword. That's a thing that's important that is a good skill in our relationship to develop. And that's any like friendship, for your kids, like a mom or son mom or dad, like, relationship with your kids, your spouse, your significant other, like, I don't know, I might have repeated myself there, but it's a, it's a, for, like, I even think as a yoga teacher or a life coach, you know, Reiki, school teachers.
Or a boss. If you're a boss, you're a leader, manager. Hold space. Learn how to hold space.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there is a time to, there's a fine line, right? Like, you can't just hold space forever, in a sense, in some roles. You know, like, I think of my child. If he were to have this problem and I'm listening and I don't see any, you know, I don't see any progress, or I see him sliding further into, like, and this hasn't happened, I'm just hypothetically flash forward to teenage years, you know, and I see him sliding or regressing, or, you know, things are getting more serious. Like, there's only so much space I'm going to hold until I'm concerned, you know, like, there's going to be that stepping in as a parent, I think.
Well, it's kind of like, possibly. I'm thinking about the interview that we had with my mom, and how, you asked her a question about death. Like, helping people, and when they kind of are like, well, you're the chaplain, you're supposed to know the answer to this kind of this question I'm asking. And she said, I only really will give answers if they're in a really desperate state. If somebody is if their quest for an answer, if their own personal journey and quest for an answer is anxiety inducing and doing more harm than good, then you kind of step in. But I think holding space is about learning the difference between, is what I am going to offer this person, is what I, like, say you have a friend that comes and they are venting, they've got a dilemma, something's going wrong, and there's a moment where there's a break and they're not talking. And you think, is what I'm about to say, is it going to help them? Or is it about me trying to fill space right now?
Because I'm uncomfortable.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's quite literally holding space. Like, there is space. The person stopped talking. The person that came to you for guidance and advice, or just came to you to vent and then hang up the phone, is what? Like, ask yourself, am I going to say this because it's going to help me feel better about filling the space right now? Or is what I'm saying really about them and helping them? And I think that, I mean, it's something that comes up. It's come up a lot for me just in my own life, being raised by my mom, who does that for a living. Like, my mom has always kind of, like, when somebody has a parent who's dying or a friend that's going through something really bad, I'll go to my mom and I'm like, is this okay? Like, do you think this is okay if I handle it like this? Like, she's my, like, ultimate sounding board for, like, me helping my friends go through something really, really bad, which I think has definitely made me a better person and made me a good friend because of my mom. And then again, going through yoga teacher training, like, we go through this, Kristen and I, we, you know, you and I both went through yoga teacher training with the yoga shop, and they teach us that. They literally, it's a huge, I think, at least in my experience, I think it's a huge part of the teacher training is learning how to hold space. And then again, in life coaching, our life coaching training, like, can you hold space for this person? Can you sit in discomfort for the benefit of that person? And then you kind of learn when you go through that question in your mind of, and what is what I'm about to say, is it for them or is it for myself? You realize that a lot of the times it's for you, it's not for them. So you don't say anything, because whatever's happening, it's not about you, it's about that person. So to support them and hold them, you just let them be. You let them figure it out. They are the captain of their ship. They are the experts on themselves. You just sit with them and you support them and you care for them by not saying a darn thing.
Yeah.
Boom.
Wow. So that's...
I was just talking perfect. With my hands a lot. I know you can't see me, but I was just getting in there.
We should totally video one of these days, a little behind the scenes. Yeah, I remember, I know what weekend you're talking about, or like what thing you're talking about with the teacher training, and I don't feel
we can't the need to spoil it for
divulge yeah. anything. But I remember going through that weekend and at the end of it being like, whoa, I'm sorry. Wait a second. aren't we going to kind of like dissect all of this? Like I need to go and like hug that person, give this person a high five, do this. And I was uncomfortable not being able to, it wasn't even save anyone, but share, there was nothing that I could say to the person or any people that would change their situation, but it felt like I needed to help.
Yeah,
but no one was asking for my help. No one was asking for that. And what I realized is that just the act of being courageous enough to say the things that are on your mind to another person out loud is enough.
Yeah.
It's healing. There's healing in it for that person that is just simply saying it out loud.
Yeah.
Not to themselves, not to a journal, not to a little recorder or whatever, but they're saying it to someone else. And there is a profound surrender and release that happens just in that.
Yeah, there's something about... Sorry, go
that's
ahead.
Enough. No, I was going to say, and that's just enough. It doesn't have to be, oh, okay, now you have to give me advice. Now I need someone to hug me and hold me. Like, no, that's not what this is.
There's something too, like to be on the receiving end of somebody coming to you and divulging something that's really personal and venting mm-hmm. to you or telling you something that happened in their past that's kind of shaped who they are. And there is something profound about witnessing somebody put that information out to the universe and not responding, because the only response that they need is their next action, right? Like the only response that that person needs is what happens next in their life. Like that is enough. Like getting that off of your chest, being able to speak those words and have a person bear witness of you speaking those words to the universe, and then realizing you will realize something, whether it's that, am I making sense right now, by the way? Does this make sense? Are you following?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure that this is clear for people, because I think it's really important to be able to bear witness to that. Like the only response that's necessary is that person's next action.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. And so you don't need to respond because the universe will.
So you're saying when someone comes to, like, let's say I came to you with something.
Yeah.
And it was like this big thing. And just you holding that space allows me to kind of think it out and think it through for myself.
Yes. Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think a lot of times people just need to speak it to somebody, yeah. not to their journal, not to, like you were saying, a microphone, a whatever it is, their mind. They need to speak it and they need to say it out loud to someone. And that's a profound experience, not only for the sharer, but for the listener.
Yeah. Oh, and I think there's a great honor in being the recipient of someone just feeling comfortable and trusting enough to say that to you.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's a great honor in that, in a respect. I don't know. I think that feels important to say, too. It's like, if you are one of those people in this world that feels like, I remember feeling this way, is people come to me all the time and they just say the stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they just tell me these things, and I hold it. Like I would never be like, oh my God, little so-and-so, you have no idea. It wasn't in my DNA. Mm-hmm. Like I just would hold it. It's strange because it wasn't always people that I really knew. Like people in the grocery store would tell me things.
Me too.
Not super personal stuff, but like things would start to come out, and I'm like, I don't think I don't know if we have the relationship or you need to tell me this, but that's cool. And I don't know if I held space for them, but I listened and gave a little, I don't know, one of my little anecdotes, and we would smile, and I don't know, it felt like, wow, this person wants to open up to me. That's cool, you know?
Yeah. I remember again, like, just bringing it back to my mom. My mom is just like, she's just awesome. My mom, I remember saying these things to my mom, like, this person just told me this, like, and my mom is going, Dana, honor that. That person told you that because they felt comfortable enough with you to say something that's really personal to them. So you better not tell anybody that. And she would get like strict with me about that. Like, you better honor that. You better not, you better hold that trust and do not break their trust. And I don't. And it's kind of, it's something that I take seriously. It's something that I want to hold on to throughout my life. And I want to teach my children that when somebody tells you something that's information that they're trusting you with, that you don't break that trust.
Nope.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's your own integrity at stake. And then it's breaking, it's burning bridges with someone.
And what do you gain from it? There's nothing to gain. And not that it has to be a game of winning or losing, but there's, I don't know, there's...
You gain nothing.
I can't. Yeah.
You lose.
I feel like what I want to say is like negative, you know, it's a bad, I want to label it as bad, you know, when
it
you
is
do,
bad. When we can you say do, it.
Like, it's bad. It's naughty. Oh my gosh. Well, you just mentioned your mom a couple of times, and I just want to remind our listeners, if you haven't listened to Katie Wilcox's episode, it's so good.
It is.
I learned a lot. I learned a lot from it. And some of the things that you're saying, like, I don't even know if we touched on in the episode, like, you know, honoring someone's word and right. holding that. But, like, there's a lot of good nuggets in that episode. And I just think that it's a good reference for people, too, if you want to follow that. Dana, I mean, we're talking about relationships and, like, how to find them and things like that. So, I mean, I have to get into the nitty gritty of God. It. And I know you have to, you're just going to be like, okay, we're going to cut at 30 minutes every time. Cause I feel like it always kind of comes in around the same time is like, so where do you find, you know, how do you find someone with good boundaries? But like, how do you find someone in general, you know, like whether it's a friend, whether it's a significant other, you know, where do you find that? What is it? I don't know. How do I end the question? Where do you find that?
What is it?
What is it?
What is friendship? What is friendship?
Define it.
I think a whole lot of this, so much of relationships, meeting new people, all of that. I really think that so much of it has to do with your own intuition and your gut feeling about people. And I think that that can be kind of weird. Like, not everybody, I think a lot of people don't listen to their gut, and they're not, and I don't mean that in the sense that like, oh, you didn't listen to your gut and you met a bad person and like, now look at you. I mean that in the sense that people forget that they have it. Like, they just forget about it. And I encourage you to start paying attention to your own intuition, your own gut feeling, your own alarm system that your body, like our bodies have these alarm systems for a reason. It's survival. And I know that sounds like intense, but it's the truth. So when you meet somebody that kind of makes you go, I don't know, like, okay, maybe that doesn't mean that you're going to be mean to them or rude or not at all, not invite them into your life at all, but it does mean that maybe you just protect yourself from them and you don't immediately make them a best friend and a trusted companion, you know?
That's like, boundaries again. Yeah,
you,
it's boundaries
you
again.
You explore
now.
That feeling. Like, I have met people that I go, I meet them and I'm like, I don't know if I can, like, I think a big, I was talking about this with someone last week, like, to me, when I meet people, I'm a pretty good judge of character. And when I meet somebody and I cannot figure out who they are and what their intentions are, Because I can kind of figure that out quickly about people. I can kind of figure out if, like, you're only talking to me for this reason. Or, like, I can figure out that I just have a pretty good gauge. And when I meet people and I cannot figure out what their intentions are and I cannot figure out if they're pure, if their intentions are pure, it causes pause for me. And sometimes I meet people like that, and then it just takes a little bit longer. I definitely keep them kind of at an arm's length, and I'm still kind and I'm still nice to them, but I'm protecting my own mind and soul and body. And I do find out later, okay, I was wrong. This person's cool. Like, I think it was just, maybe it's just stuff from my past that came up when I first met them or whatever. And then I've also met people that, like, holy shit, I was right. Like, you were not somebody. I'm glad that I never let you in, because I shouldn't have trusted you, or I shouldn't trust you. And I'm glad that I didn't, you know? So I think it's really about, you know, just start noticing those things when you meet people, when you meet someone new. If they kind of make you go like, then, like, they don't have to be your best friend. But yeah. If you also meet somebody like Kristen, when I first met Kristen, she just was somebody that and I've said this before, like, I just had this inherent trust in. And still, when you have that inherent trust in people, still, you do have to be, I think you still should be careful, because your gut and your intuition can be wrong. Like I said before, I've met people that have caused pause, but it was incorrect. They actually turned out to be awesome people in my life. You know, so still, when you meet people that you have this really good feeling about, I think you should still, like, investigate that feeling. But, like, for me personally, in my own experience, it's typically correct. And noticing, like, if there's ever times that come up that are, like, maybe little yellow flags, like, little things that are, like, ooh, I don't think that that's something that I want in a really close friend. It's not a quality or a trait that I really value in a person or a friend. It's not something that I respect about people. Like, your friends should be doing things that make you respect them.
Well, and you have said this, too, is, like, when you stop. And, like, I think everybody should just do this right now. Like, take a second and think of the 5 closest people to you. I'm stealing this from you, Dana. And I know that you
I've stolen from other people.
Yeah. But, like, seriously, like, close your eyes for a second. Think of the 5 closest people to you. And when you think of the qualities of these people, what is it? You're the average of the 5 closest people to you. So, like, are these kind people? Are they generous people? Are they, you know, do they have the same values as you? The same morals? Are they sort of on the same life path as you? You know, I'm not saying, like, you have to go to college to be a good person, but, like, do they value the things? Like, if you are someone that values education or growth, are they someone that also values those things? Mm-hmm. You know, if you've sworn off drinking, perhaps, and your friends or those 5 people, they don't have to be, you know, people that are sober, but do they respect the fact that you want to live that lifestyle? You know, just take inventory of that in your mind.
Yeah.
And when you do, you know, it's sort of a reflection back to you and what you value about yourself.
It's the same as, like, what you were saying earlier, Kristen, of when you get upset by someone, when somebody says something that upsets you or they set boundaries that upset you, it's a mirror. Like, look at why that upsets you. Maybe it's something that you wish that you had, or maybe it's something that you're working on in your... just look at those things as mirrors, right? So it's the same as the 5 people that are closest to you in your life. Consider them mirrors. Like, what if you considered those people a reflection of who you are? Is that something that you would be proud of? Is that a reflection you'd be proud of? And it's kind of an intense question.
I can safely say right now, yes.
Yeah, and I can too. I have some
kick butt people around
for sure. We're very lucky, honestly. It's luck in a way, but it's also you and I have done a lot of work, a lot to get here.
I think somebody close to me said, be careful with lucky. You know, like you do put in work for the things that you have. I think that really has made me think about using the word lucky.
It's like kind of a cop out.
In a sense, yeah. I mean, like, you said it yourself in the episode that you went through a really big falling out with someone that was close to you, very close to you. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't easy, but you grew in a direction, and it wasn't serving you anymore to be with this person.
And no, it was negatively serving me.
Right. If you were to, your energy was off, if you were to do that exercise of the people, you know, let's say this was 2 years ago and this person was very close to you.
She was like a sister, 2 years, literally like a sister. Right.
2 years ago, and you did that exercise, you close your eyes, you know, perhaps at that time, maybe she had the same values and life path and goals and all that.
You know what's funny? What I will say, when I was going through that, I would say that I've been significantly betrayed by two times. And there was a third friend who did it, but it was not as significant as the other two friends. And I remember by the third friend that I felt like significantly turned my world upside down, betrayed, like jaw dropping disbelief. I was talking to, again, my mom about it. And my mom told me, she brought this up. She said, okay, so you have friend A, I will say for lack of a better word. You have friend A, you have friend B, and you have friend C. And it seems like they were your most significant relationships for those stages of your life. And then they also ended up to be people that really betrayed you, betrayed your trust, and betrayed your friendship. So why do you think that is? And I was like, what? What do you mean? They were wrong. They wronged me. Like, what did I do? I'm a helpless victim. And she said, she told me about this Buddhist principle that I'm sure you've probably heard of, Kristen, that you will keep learning the same lesson over and over again until you will be presented with the same problem or lesson or something like that over and over again until you finally learn it. So she said, what? Mm-hmm. So now this has been presented. You've had these three friends that have betrayed you. What are you going to learn from it? And at first I was like, well, I just can't trust people. That was like my spiteful answer. I was like, well, it just means that I'm just not going to let anybody in from here on out. Like, there's nobody's allowed in my life anymore. And she was like, no. Wrong. And I realized that the things that those people had in common, those three friends that really were my super good friends, they all had warning signs in the friendship. And I betrayed my gut to maintain the friendship. Especially with those two that I mentioned that were really, really jarring. Two of them were like my closest friends. And one of them was in high school and the other one was more recently. And in those friendships, I remember people coming to me that I really trusted. They came to me and said, you know, this girl that you're friends with, like, she's doing this thing that I know that you don't agree with. And I'm just like kind of letting you know, like, it just is a little bit weird. And they'd say, like, you know, like, people don't really like her. Like, and I would kind of take it as like, oh, you're gossiping. Oh, you're being mean. Oh, and I would just defend like blind faith in my friend and just defend them and have their back when I knew what these people were saying to me. I knew it in my gut. Mm. They're right. I knew they were right.
Yeah.
And I felt that. And I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes. My friends either being a bad person, like not treating other people with kindness, or like gaslighting. Like that was the problem with my last friendship that I had a really bad falling out. She's somebody that would gaslight people. She had just never done it to me, but I saw her do it in her relationships. I saw her do it in her other friendships, that she had a really hard time setting boundaries and honoring boundaries with other people. And when people tried to do it, she'd gaslight them and she'd try to convince them that they're wrong. And it was really hard to give somebody advice that I, it was really hard to like hold space for somebody that I disagreed with. But it was kind of like, oh, well, we've known each other our whole lives. So like, you're my friend kind of by default, and you've become my best friends. And they're definitely, I loved her. I did. I honestly did. I loved her like a sister. And there was times where I was like, well, this is just kind of who she is. So I just accepted it and I loved her. And looking back, that's what I said to my mom, is like, I think I just, going forward, I really need to trust my gut and I really need to trust my intuition. And when people come into my life that I have these feelings about, of like, oh, I see you not living with kindness. I see you treating people unfairly or being rude or doing something, having a value set that I really don't align with, or acting in ways that I really don't respect, then I can't let them in the way, you know, I can be kind to them and I can be friendly with them, but they're not going to be my best friend. They're just not.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You learn that along the way. It's hard. It's hard learning those lessons. But if we don't have those, like, you have to really look at every relationship as a learning lesson. Yep. Either you learned to be a better you, or you learned what you don't want to have in your life. And you kind of check that. You learned, you know, like your mom said, there is a lesson even in the bad. Like, I think especially in the bad, there's a lesson.
Yeah. And it's on you. It's on you to learn it.
Yeah.
It's on you, honestly, to be the captain of your ship. And I have a freaking ship's wheel tattoo on my forearm. That's how strongly I feel about this, that you are the captain, and it's on you to take ownership, take responsibility for your life. If you are wronged by someone, you might be the victim in the story, right? Like, they completely betrayed you, they wronged you, whatever it is, but take charge of that and like choose for it to make you better. Choose that you will be stronger and more kind because you know how it feels to be so wronged that you won't do that to somebody else.
Absolutely. So I loved your answer for
my
sure.
Long answer.
But I did notice that you specifically left out the part about relationships and where you would find them. So I will leave that for next time because it's starting to get a little late, and we want to make sure we keep this not too loony, because I get a little funky after 9 p.m. Yeah, yeah. So I'm also demonstrating a little boundary setting here for our audience, because it's important, right?
Yeah.
To not only say the things that we believe in, but to also practice the things that we believe in. But I think we might have a topic for our next episode in where to find new friends, new relationships, new hobbies, new passions, all of that. Possibly that's coming next time. We're a little organic here, right?
Yeah.
But before we kind of like end things, is there anything you want to add into this conversation?
Yeah. Yeah, there is.
Of course.
So you and I are in this Facebook group with the yoga shop that they are doing through this quarantine. We're all part of this Facebook group. And if anybody wants to join it, they can totally reach out to Kristen or myself and we'll hook you up. But it is, they have, you know, Annie Q, she's one of the owners of the yoga shop. She puts up these daily,
prompts.
Like, yeah. Prompts is a good word. For us to, something to do, either do throughout the day, or a journal or a meditation, or just, you know, writing a letter to someone. Just, she kind of gives us a call to action, a good prompt. So one of them from last week was to write down your love word, a word that we associate with love, and a word that's important when it comes to love. So Kristen, I thought it would be cool for us to share our love words because I thought it was relevant for this. So Kristen, what is your love word?
My love word is trust. And I think it's something that I just deeply value. I try to be a trusting person myself, as I kind of touched upon before, is like holding space to me is being trustworthy. And I that's like my number one thing. Like I'm driving home the importance of being honest with my kids, which I think is a synonym of trust. Mm-hmm. Or at least in my head it is.
I think it is.
So don't look it up. Don't fact check me, everyone.
I'd agree with that. I would agree with that.
I mean,
that.
You can fact check me, but I'm telling you it might not be right. but I just think that it's, if you don't have trust, it's very hard to have anything else in a relationship. So that's my word, trust. And I definitely, that's the bottom line of all of my friendships is trust. I would, if I trust you with my kids, I trust you with my life, like, and same with me. Like, I hope that my friends have that trust in me as well. Mm-hmm. So do you want to share your word?
Yeah. So my word was faith. And I was thinking about my relationships in my life and the common thread in them, the most important relationships in my life. And it's faith, that I have faith in them. I have, they inspire faith and they have faith in me. And I have faith that if something goes wrong, they will have my back. And I have faith that when things are going really, really well, that they will support me and they will uplift me. I think that's something else that's really important, is surrounding yourself with people that are your cheerleaders. And like, I think Kristen, you and I are really good at, like, we'll tell each other like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. This awesome thing happened in my life. And we cheer each other on. There's not a hesitation to celebrate our strengths because the other person will cheer you on. So it's a faith that they will be my cheerleader and not be envious and not be like, not put themselves down because you are doing so well, kind of thing.
Yeah. I forgot. Like,
that's a big pillar, I think.
Totally. 100%. Yeah. You grow up and mature, hopefully most people throughout their lives do, and you forget that. You know, of course, I think it's rare to find a human that in high school wasn't trying to tear someone else's, you know, tower down. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, I'm jealous of you, or I'm on JV and you're on varsity, I'm teaching middle school, like,
yeah,
that, oh, I bet that you phrase see drives me bananas, but like, you suck. Like, you hear that so much, or they suck. And I said it like four times. Yeah, it feels like a big swear word.
Yeah, it does feel like a swear word, doesn't it?
It feels very naughty. So this is getting weird, I'm telling you. We need to cut now. No. But yeah, you forget that, like, even out of high school, you know, it felt like a competition. Everything was competitive and nasty, and you couldn't, like, I had a hard time being happy, genuinely happy for other people, because I felt like I want that. Why can't I have it? Yeah. I work really hard. And like, some things just aren't meant for you either. Right. You know, like, right. Sometimes it's good that door closed, you know, and you learn, hopefully you're able to learn that the right doors and windows do open for you. And there's a reason that some close for you. And not only do they close for you, and they open for someone that maybe is your friend. Like, it's not something that you have to be envious of. It's something that you can be a cheerleader of. And it's just like the boundaries, paying attention to what your friends kind of react with, you know. Mm-hmm. When I tell friends that I'm opening a business or I'm starting a podcast, is there someone in the corner going, oh, did you see what she's doing? I don't feel I have that in my life anymore. Right. And it's such a good feeling.
It's a, like, weight off your shoulders, right?
Yes, exactly. And I'm glad that you brought that up towards the end, is like, some people are stuck kind of in that place where, you know, you may be coming out of that phase of your life, or maybe you're still in that phase of your life and it's hard. It's hard to get out of it, but there is a way. It's slow. There's some personal growth and self-development that goes along with it. But like, if you feel that, and to me, I felt it and I felt icky about it, but I didn't know how to change it. Mm-hmm. There's a way to change it. And, you know, your life gets better. Every little thing that you do to get to follow your intuition, to follow your path. And really part of the reason that we started this podcast is to help people in that journey.
Yeah. So, and when you surround yourself with people that cheer you on and support you, it encourages you to live a life that's more bold. Like while you were speaking, ooh, I was thinking, I literally probably starting a podcast is something I've always wanted to do. I don't think there's a chance in hell I would have started a podcast if it weren't for you, if it weren't for the people that are in my life right now that cheer me on and support me. And it's about faith that they will continue to support me if this podcast should not go well. And it's not that, you know, like, and it's faith that they will support my podcast. And like, it encourages you to live more boldly because you're willing to go out on a limb and do something risky. Like start a podcast where, you know, a couple years ago, I probably would have wanted to start a podcast, but been like, oh, I'll just make a fool of myself. Like, what am I going to, you know, like, nobody's going to want to listen to me. Like, but no, like we're surrounded by people that are cheering us on and that are messaging us saying, you know, like telling us what they learned from our episodes. And like, those are the people you want in your life that will inspire faith. Yeah. That's it.
Absolutely. That's another mic drop moment. Boom. Inspire faith. Absolutely. Well, thank you everyone for listening and tuning in on this episode. If you like what you hear, please feel free to share it. We're on Instagram and Facebook at Following the Podcast. Same as our website. Let us know if you have any questions, leave a comment, send us a message.
Yeah, I would love to get some messages about what you guys want to hear more about.
Yeah.
Or like questions for a part two of my interview with Kristen or Kristen's interview with me. Like, what do you want us to talk about? What do you want to learn more about? Or what inspires you? What do you think about relationships? What's valuable to you in your relationships? We want to hear from you.
Awesome.
All right, guys.
Thanks. Thanks, Dana.
Have a great week. Stay healthy, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.